This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The U.S. Supreme Court today hears arguments in a case testing whether students studying to be ministers, priests, rabbis, or imams have a constitutional right to the same taxpayer-funded scholarships as students enrolled in non-religious programs. The Supreme Court's decision could have repercussions far beyond state-funded college scholarship programs. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Less than 2 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution does not forbid states to use taxpayer money for school vouchers at religious schools. Today, the court examines the question of whether states must, under similar circumstances, spend public money for religious education. In the voucher case, the court said that since the vouchers went to individual students and not religious institutions, the student's choice of attending a religious school was an individual choice, not a state choice. The voucher drive, however, has stalled, at least in part, because 37 states have state constitutions that go farther than the federal constitution and bar the use of any public money, directly or indirectly, for religious instruction. Today's case from Washington State represents the next front for voucher proponents, an attempt to get rid of those state constitutional barriers. Washington has, for over 100 years, had a provision in its constitution that guarantees its citizens freedom of religion and bars the use of public money or property for any religious activity. In the past, the U.S. Supreme Court has conceded that the state is free to establish a higher wall of separation between church and state than is required by the federal constitution. 4 years ago, Washington adopted a scholarship program called the Promise Scholarship to enable high-achieving, lower-income students to attend college. Any student in the top 15% of his or her class who also met the financial criteria was eligible for an $1,100 scholarship at an accredited in-state school. But when Josh Davey, a student enrolled in a divinity program at Northwestern College, applied, he was turned down.
I was informed I wouldn't be able to receive the scholarship because I was majoring in theology.
Not just theology, but theology from a devotional perspective. And the state, in accord with its constitution and statutes, barred the use of taxpayer money for the training of clergy. Davey, supported by a host of religious public interest groups, went to court to challenge the denial.
Once they've created a scholarship available to all students, based on academic and financial criteria, they cannot then in turn deny that based on a constitutional right.
The constitutional right, he maintains, is the federal constitutional's guarantee to the free exercise of religion.
It's not right for states to be able to discriminate in this way.
Washington's constitution does not prohibit Mr. Davey from pursuing his religion or pursuing his theology degree.
Washington Solicitor General Narda Pierce will tell the Supreme Court today that there's no element of discrimination in the scholarship program. Davey, she says, can use the Promise Scholarship for a non-religious major, or
he can still pursue his degree in theology and pursue the path that he chooses. The only matter that is different is that he can't accept the scholarship, which is intended for secular education, and then use it in a religious education major.
Lawyer Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice counters that these distinctions are artificial fictions for discrimination against religion.
The taxpayer does not have a veto over the individual choice of a student.
And Sekulow notes that the Supreme Court has in the past ruled that when a state denies a benefit to someone because of his religious beliefs, for example, someone denied unemployment compensation because he wouldn't work on the Sabbath, that the denial is a violation of the free exercise of religion guarantee in the federal Constitution.
They have rigged the process so that the religious perspective is what is denied here.
The state's Narda Pierce, however, counters that there's a big difference between burdening religion and refusing to subsidize it. And she points to the federal government's college subsidies, where federal money is given to fund equipment and facilities for secular education, but not for religious instruction or worship. Josh Davey's lawyers contend, though, that the Washington State Constitution and 36 others are in conflict with the federal Constitution. Lawyer Jay Sekulow.
The state constitution's provision cannot trump a federally recognized right. And the same argument could have been made and was made in Alabama in the 1950s.
Nonsense, says the Reverend Barry Lynn, director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
The difference here is that states can guarantee greater rights to people than are guaranteed by the federal constitution. And in this case,
just where the Supreme Court is going on this case is anyone's guess. What is clear is that the outcome will be enormously important for vouchers and even potentially for such things as President Bush's faith-based initiative. And it could have a significant impact on how much discretion government has, be it state, federal, or local, in how it spends its money. Barry Lynn.
This could actually end up with a determination by the Supreme Court that states must fund religious education if they fund any education at all.
Most seem to think that would be an extreme result. But in a case that pits states' rights against the free exercise of religion, before a Supreme Court that's been extremely deferential to both, the decision will say a lot about where the court is willing to put its muscle. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.